This is the Pete Feenstra feature for Get Ready to Rock Radio. Welcome to the show. Tonight I'm speaking to Albany Down about their brand new album called The Outer Reach. And this is the opening track called Feeding the Flame.
Well, I tried so hard to learn right from wrong. I found my way, but the road's been long. And I'm sure I've hurt some people as I go. But no one said it'd be an easy ride, with a heavy load still trapped inside. It's weighing me down, yes I know.
That was Feeding the Flame by Albany Down, my guest on the Pete Feenstra feature tonight. Big hello to vocalist Paul Muir, guitarist Paul Turley, drummer Donna Peters, and bass man on my right, Billy Deadman. Welcome to the show, gang.
Hello.
Great to have you all here. We're here to talk about your brand new album called The Outer Reach on AD Recordings. So what does the title refer to? Paul Turley, let's ask him.
Or me.
Or any of them.
It kind of ties in with most of the songs in various different ways.
Right.
Which Paul will be a bit more detailed about.
As the one who wrote most of the words.
Yeah, okay.
So basically it comes across a couple of different ways. The Outer Reach as a concept is like, first of all, a lot of things a lot of the subject of the songs
yeah.
are things that you either can't quite get to, or things yeah. that, I guess, people that are out of reach, and situations that you can't quite
yeah.
finish with, or something like that.
So is that aspirational?
A lot of it is. Some of yeah. it is, in the case of Feeding the Flame, almost like regretful as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, you've got this life, and yeah, but you know, it kind of hurts you at the same time.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So that one song, like, it just grew into a concept as you started writing?
I thought originally it was completely different.
Really?
So I don't think it actually came to represent the overall album no. until probably right to the end.
It was right. the first track, wasn't it, that we wrote? Anything, wasn't it?
Musically,
yeah. Yeah, I think
it was.
Yeah.
Really out of reach. Well, that leads me into the next question, actually. That track had a booming, or has a booming arrangement, echoes of Led Zeppelin and even Europe on the vocals. I don't know if you're familiar with them. But was that actually going to always be the opening track on the record?
Not necessarily. Yeah, we kind of just, once we recorded all of them, that one seemed like the one that sort of had the nice
And then you made the impact, decision after
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a hell of an opening track. I mean, it's your calling card.
Yeah. Yeah, it does kind of hit you in the face.
And now, for people who don't know the band, and there's less of them out there now, happily, who are your original kind of collective influences that brought you to this kind of big, big sounding album? We've mentioned Zeppelin, obviously.
Yeah, Zeppelin.
I think most significantly on this album would be probably AudioSlave as well.
Right, yeah.
I've been listening to a lot of
right.
before the Feeding the Flame lyrics, before the Revolution lyrics as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Both of them are big stompy riffs and big,
yeah.
fairly heavy songs compared to the last album.
And Donna, what about you?
Thunder, Pink
yeah.
Floyd.
Yeah, Pink Floyd's in there.
Yeah.
I think a bit of White Denim going there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
Interesting stuff. So, third album, this is your third album, and you once again you're working with the producer Greg Haver. You've been with him, from the beginning, and it's given you this big sound that I think transcends most of your contemporaries. Did you always have that big sound in mind from the outset, or did he bring that to the band when you first started working with him?
Well, I'm not sure, both really. Kind of that sort of big Led Zeppelin, a big drum sound and everything,
yeah.
Stuff we've always been into. But then he's obviously got his own ways of working, and he kind of just meshed. Like, from the first album, I think we've kind of got to know each other a lot better
yeah.
how we work, and
yeah.
kind of got into the. I think the sound's definitely improved.
He's nurtured us.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good way. Good way of putting it.
That's one of the things that comes out of the name of the album again. Is the how much we've come on from kind of almost being like a bluesy kind of first album, where
yeah.
this one is like kind of removed from the blues end.
In fact, you've stolen another one of my questions there, which is, I might as well ask it now. I mean, yeah, I had you down as one part of a rock blues band, one part of a classic rock band, but with this album, you're fairly squarely in the classic rock arena now, aren't you?
I guess even
if that's what they call it. Yeah.
maybe it's post rock, is it they call it these days?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm not too sure myself.
By the hipster terms.
Yeah, so I think even by Not Over Yet, last album,
yeah,
we were kind of there was a couple of bluesy ones on there, but we're starting to leave it behind, and then
yeah.
now we're kind of just
now seriously kicks ass. It really does. Does Greg ever kind of push you into upping your game collectively?
Oh yeah.
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 okay. And what way do you think that has?
Don almost injured herself pushing us up to the limit. Yeah.
So you come to a place like this, where you come to the studio where you recorded it. You've got the ideas. You've got the base, the structure of the songs and everything else. And then what, he colours it, or he says we should do this, or he sharpens it up? What happens then? What's the process?
There wasn't much, to be honest. There weren't a lot of changes on this one, were there?
Yeah.
Recording, I mean, we did the tracking, and then I did like, a few drum takes of each song.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and if he thought I could do better, it's like...
He'd let you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him being a drummer and all.
Yeah, he's like, dig in.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm digging in.
Both Greg and Clint, producer, are drummers, so I think Donna get the hardest time.
Wow.
They do push us.
Yeah.
Push us all.
Okay, good.
In the best way possible.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think the album's a living testimony to that. I mean, you've certainly upped your game on it. It's a great record, people. You should go out and get it when it comes out. Jim June 10th. Let's play another track. This is called Do You Want Me Now?
In my door, I've had a feeling that I can't hide anymore. And it's something that I've tried to fight, but I've never known anything feel so right. We're always talking on the phone. I walk you home when you're alone. But when I think you start to fall, it don't mean come back around. I thought I'd let you know how it's going down. And though I know it might make you wrong, baby, I think the time has finally come. Cause every time you brush my hand, it's almost more than I can stand. I feel my body start to shake. I don't know how I can take, I can feel it. Well, baby, you've been holding out. Can you hear me? Do you want me now? Do you want me now? Do you want me now? Do you want me now?
How many of these tracks are you going to play live, do you reckon? I mean, given the fact that some of them have got string arrangements on them and...
Just play them all live, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
If we can get a string section that wants to play with us for free, that'd be...
Or even a horn section.
Or a horn section, yeah. But thankfully, the more enhancement rather than a requirement for the songs, the still sounds...
Yeah, because we always write the songs as a four-piece, so yeah. Then there's sort of the strings and keyboards kind of enhance it, but the core song underneath.
So just to finish off on the songwriting process, Paul Muir, I'm asking now, I guess, because you write the words, so you've just said that actually you kind of respond to a musical framework before you actually write the words.
Usually, yeah.
So it is really a band kind of process then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not, I've got these you know, these deep, meaningful lyrics, can you add some music to it? It's the opposite, almost.
Yeah, yes. That's never happened.
No, I've never come in with words that need music. I've always used the music.
All right, that's an interesting point. Which is the actual feel of the whole band, when you think about it.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is what comes across in the album. Good stuff. On the way up here, you asked me which was my favourite track. I've got a couple, but one of them is the next track we're going to play now. This is called The Drop. A drop by Albany Down. I love that, all the sound on that, the riffs and the hook. Did that come together very quickly, that song?
It's a funny story.
This is definitely a funny one.
Go ahead. go on.
So again, the music was kicking around for a while. And again, it came about from the first session when we did the first few songs.
Right.
And it wasn't until we were in the studio, or I guess messing around on the PlayStation in the studio.
Yeah.
When the idea was, Billy Kate just came up to me and said, we should make a song about this video game we were playing.
Nice one.
And it turns out that it was really, I took it as a challenge to try and make a song about a video game that didn't sound like it was about a video game.
Cool.
And I think it pretty much worked.
Well, you know, if somebody asked me what Albany Down sound like, I'd probably play them that track, because I think it's a great example of a live spark. The question leading in from that is it difficult to nail that spot when you're in the studio?
No, not really. I think it's...
We tracked everything together, so it was like...
As a band.
In one room, initially, and then
as a band.
Yeah, took everything from the top, so...
Well, it's a great album. The album's called The Outer Reach. It's out, 10th of June?
10th of June.
And so tell everybody where they can buy it and what your website is and stuff like that.
iTunes, Amazon, and www.albanydown.com.
Albanydown.com. And you're touring. Have you started a tour? When do you start touring?
Yeah, we've done a few, and then we're off to Holland next week, and then we've got a few more in June and July to promote the album. Yeah.
Okay, this has been Pete Finster speaking to Albany Down on the Pete Finster feature. It's been my absolute pleasure. Can't wait for everybody else to hear the album. I think it's great. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks to the band.
Thank you.
And good night.
Feels like my last. My heart skips a beat. You got magic in your eyes. You know I'm hypnotized. There's lead in my feet. You got your chains around me. Just can't break free, because every time I see your face I'm gone. I wanted to stay but I know it's wrong. There's no way I can explain to you. Every time I think I'm free I'm not. I try to break away but I'm still caught in this slow burn. Like a bullet in my brain. Your command, time after time. So I'm still chasing after it, 'cause I can't let you go. You know, every time I see your face, I'm gone. I wanted to stay, but I know it's wrong. There's no way. I try to break away, but I'm still caught in this slow burning pain, like a bullet in my brain. Drift on the tide and sink like a stone. I have nowhere left to run. My ship has sailed and gone, and I'm not going.